been moving all around the Taipei area.
Oh, this always feels good.
It's 5:30 in the afternoon here in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Okay, just a few hundred steps to go, and I'm at the top of the platform here of Swayambhunath, the monkey temple.
I was drinking a mixture of beer, a rice wine, and I am really feeling it now.
I am up at 3:30 in the morning to go to a tuna auction.
I am here in Mumbai, India.
And I'm here in Tokyo, Japan, for Sakura, the cherry blossoms.
It's 7:45 in the morning here in Phnom Penh, and I'm just going to try to cross the street. I'm going to try on a crosswalk.
It's 6:15 in the morning, and I think I'm one of the only people in Ta Prohm. This is the Tomb Raider Temple.
Hi, I'm John Sabo, and this is the Far East Travels Podcast.
Hey there, it's John Sabo, and in this episode of the Far East Travels Podcast, I want to talk about inspiration again. One creative idea to get yourself inspired about traveling again or traveling in the future, since really we can't do much of any travel abroad or international travel, at least for a while. So I hope this helps you out. And then I want to talk about my last visit to India and some things that inspired me to think about returning to India, get into India a little bit more. And for you street food fans, I'll talk a little bit about the street food that I enjoyed in India, particularly Mumbai as well, in this episode. So if you want to help others discover the Far East Travels Podcast, it's real easy to do that. Just sign into your iTunes account and write a review. I'm going to leave a link in the show notes. Just make sure you're signed into your iTunes account and then follow that link and then rate the podcast, the Far East Travels Podcast, out of 5 stars, and then write your review, and you'll help others discover the podcast. So I was looking for movies to watch a few nights ago, and I came across this one movie called The Lunchbox. Now, it's an Indian movie, and it was actually made in 2013, and I can't believe I missed it because it has one of my favorite Indian actors in it, Irfan Khan. And Irfan Khan has been in a lot of, actually, movies that have made it big in the West, one of which was Slumdog Millionaire. He played the detective in Slumdog Millionaire. He was also in the had a smaller role in the Darjeeling Limited, the Wes Anderson movie. And what else has he been in? He's been in a lot of movies, and he is the main male lead in the movie The Lunchbox. And I watched it and I loved it. And it takes place in Mumbai. Basically, it's about this woman that's kind of unhappy in her marriage, and like a lot of women, they make lunch for their husbands in Mumbai, and they send the lunch through the Dabawala system there. It's a very famous bicycle courier that's been around for a long, long time, and actually people have studied it from around the world and can't believe how accurate this service is, and it's not a computer-based service at all. It's basically all on paper, and it's these Dabawalas, these bicycle delivery guys that work in Mumbai that deliver all these lunches, hundreds of thousands of lunches every day to people at work. I would say probably not just, you know, husbands, but, you know, many wives that stay at home will make the lunch for their husband and send it to work. And some people, you know, have very strict diets. There's some vegetarian diets like a Jain diet that has some very strict things around it that you can't eat. So it's much easier, rather than for this person to try to find a restaurant for their family member, just to make the lunch for them, and they send them off in the tiffins. And this one actually happens to go to the wrong guy. It doesn't go to her husband. It goes to this other guy, and they start this relationship by passing notes to each other, and she cooks them this food. And it's actually quite It's very interesting, and it's certainly a different way of meeting than dating platforms or unhappy spouse platforms that are out there. And so that's the premise of the movie. Now, what it was a very good story, I think, and you should see it if you are interested in it. It's kind of half English and half in Hindi, but of course there's subtitles as well. And it takes place in Mumbai during the rainy season, so there's scenes of the trains and street scenes, and that really touched me because I spent a couple of weeks in Mumbai in 2015. That was my last visit to India, among other places that I went to during that trip. And then, so after that movie, I thought, well, I like this. I'm starting to think about my travel again. I want to see some more movies, and there's just a plethora of Indian movies. The Indian cinema is one of the largest, if not the largest, in the world. So there's lots of content to seek out and be inspired from for India very easily. And the other movie, did I mention also too that Irfan Khan, I was so sad to hear that he passed away this past April. I just heard about that. After I watched the movie, I had read that he had passed away, and it was so sad because I really enjoyed his work. So after that movie, I wanted to, because I'd heard about this movie before, and I finally found a version that I could watch that had subtitles, and it's called Hotel Mumbai. And again, it's a movie that's sort of some English and some Hindi, and it's based on the terrorist acts in 2008, where these terrorists attacked the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel and killed a whole lot of innocent civilians, and they also killed people at the CST, the Victoria Terminus, the old Victoria Terminus station, and then I believe a couple of other sites as well. So it's around that. It's not a cheerful movie, but it is Mumbai based, and the scenes were familiar to me. So, and I did actually stay only two blocks away from the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel when I stayed there last. It's in South Mumbai in Colaba. And Colaba is a great place to stay if you're going to go and visit Mumbai, because it's close to all of the heritage buildings and any kind of sites that are of interest to tourists. So I was watching that, and then again, it started making me think about my trip and looking at pictures and thinking, wow, I'd really like to go and revisit Mumbai and with different eyes now, because it's been 5 years. And so then I was inspired to watch another movie from India, a very a good one, fairly recently. Well, the Hotel Mumbai was made only 2 years ago, or released only 2 years ago, and this one was released just last year. It's called Hamid. Very touching movie about this boy that misses his father. His father goes missing in Kashmir in northern India. And I have spent a little bit of time in northern India, but not near that region. And there's absolutely some stunning pictures. And it's a very contentious region still to this day. But some beautiful images of Kashmir in this movie as well, which again was inspiring for me. So I really felt I want to pass this on to the listeners of the podcast, because I thought they might be interested in this. And of course, nothing revolutionary or new using cinema to inspire you to travel. But, you know, we always go to these things that are quite easy to go to, like YouTube. And of course, I have a YouTube channel as well. And places that are obvious to seek travel advice. But just to watch these movies and be moved by some of the images and the cinematography in some of these movies was just amazing. So I started thinking about my past trip to India, and now I'm starting to think I want to go again, and I'm starting to look at cities and do some research again. So that I kind of pass on my experience and how I got there, and maybe this can help you, because in these times right now, I know a lot of us are kind of feeling like hopeless. And when are we going to be able to travel again? Nobody knows for certain. There's all rumors about this place and that place. And Europe has opened up a little bit to Europeans, but, you know, Asia is still relatively closed off. And now we're starting to get a reemergence in some places in the world of the virus again. So, you know, we don't know. Hopefully it'll be within a year. But at least if we have these things to hang on to. And I've been getting, I know, some messages from some of you that listen to the podcast as well, and talking about plans that you have or you know, you're trying to think about where to go in the future. So I thought I would just kind of go through this process that I've gone through in the last few days and share this with you. And maybe this helps you as well. And then talk a little bit about my last trip to India, because I've gotten so much joy out of traveling through India. And India can be a very exhausting place for foreigners to travel because of the amount of people that are there, the crowded cities, the people that want your attention all the time, whether it's good or bad. And it's quite overwhelming to most people. So it's not the easiest place to travel, but it can be one of the most rewarding places to travel if you're willing to put up with some of those things. So I had spent the last visit to India about between five and six weeks, I believe. And I spent 2 weeks in Mumbai. And previous to my trip to India, I'd spent about 3 weeks in Nepal before I had gone to Nepal to trek the Annapurna Circuit. So after I left the Annapurna Circuit and left Nepal, I flew from Kathmandu to Mumbai. And I spent 2 weeks in Mumbai. And I stayed in Kolaba, South Mumbai. If you're going to go to Mumbai, that's one of the best places to stay. That's where the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel is. But I didn't stay there. I was staying in a budget hotel. And Kolaba is a great place to stay because it's the southern tip, basically, of Mumbai. And it's very close to a lot of things that you probably would be interested in if you're going to visit Mumbai. So I explored Fort, Kalagoda, Churchgate. These are areas that some people would call Bombay proper, especially Kalagoda. Lots of rich history there, lots of old architecture from the British era in this area, some gorgeous buildings, nice places to walk, although there's some places are crowded and some places there's beggars that you have to deal with as well. But lovely places to visit. And then I also went to Chaupati, which is the beach area that's not far away from Kolaba. I just took a local bus there. Very easy to take local buses there, but you can take taxis as well. And taxis are very inexpensive in Mumbai. Staying in Mumbai is not cheap, but there's lots of things like food and taxis. Transportation is pretty inexpensive. And Chaupati is loaded with lots of old Art Deco apartment buildings there. Beautiful, that line the beach. So I spent time, you know, many days just walking and photographing and filming around that area. And I also went to Bandra one day. Actually, I met this really nice older gentleman. I was in the train station and he volunteered to be my tour guide. And it was not a scam or anything. He was just a really nice man. I think he was retired and he'd had a good job and he just traveled a lot and he wanted to help out somebody that he thought could use some help. So he took me on this little couple-hour tour of Bandra, which is where a lot of the Hollywood, or Bollywood, I should say, movie stars lived. And we went to a couple of homes and there was fans outside these homes. And it was really interesting. It was really interesting to see Bandra. And then I went on my own to the Dobi Ghats. This is where they do all the laundry and but I wanted to talk a little bit about the street food as well, because this is one of my favorite street food cities. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have the podcast name one of the top five street food podcasts in the world by FeedSpot recently. So I thought I should sort of bring up street food again. And I was very comfortable eating the street food in Mumbai. I was never sick, never felt any ill effects from eating the food there. And I eat in humble places and in very good top restaurant type situations as well. But I had lots of street food there, never had any issue. A couple of my favorites was Pav Bhaji. I think I ate that maybe quite a few times. And that is just like a vegetable mash with spice. And they serve it with these soft buns, kind of a little bit of a colonial flavor. I don't know if that's where it came from, but they serve this spicy veg mash with soft buns. It's delicious and it's cheap. And then I had other street foods like the vada pav is probably my favorite. That is a fried potato, usually kind of spicy with some chili, and they put that in a bun and it's really cheap. I think it's maybe 30 cents or something like that. And there's dosas. There's a wonderful place to eat street food right across the street from CST, the old Victoria Terminus station. A whole lineup of shops there making dosas, all kinds of southern Indian food and snacks and juices. And so you can eat there. I ate there many, many times, never had any issues. Lots of amazing street food. One of the top highlights, I think, of my trip to Mumbai was just eating all of that great food. And then going to this Gujarati Thali restaurant one Sunday afternoon for lunch, and I'd read about this restaurant. It had lots of really good reviews, and it was very busy that afternoon. There was lots of Indian families there doing their Sunday brunch or lunch together. And the thali is the big platter of different curries and breads and things that they give you. And this place just keeps piling it on until you say no. And I ate so much and I was so full that I skipped dinner. I just couldn't eat dinner. I was so full. And that was a wonderful meal. A wonderful experience too, being around all those Indian families enjoying their Sunday afternoon together. That was really cool. So you can't go wrong, in my opinion, with the street food and the local food, but you can have international food there. I went to a really good Burmese restaurant one night for dinner, seafood. I mean, anything you want. I'd say Mumbai is definitely one of the top cities in the world for food, street food or just regular food. So after I spent 2 weeks in Mumbai, I decided to go to Kerala, and I took a flight from Mumbai to Kochi or Cochin, 2-hour flight, and I spent about 2 weeks in Kochi, or they also call it Fort Cochin. That area is quite massive, actually. It's quite a large area. And I rented a motorbike and scooted around on this motorbike and combination of motorbike and walking just for 2 weeks all around that area. And I loved it. And I love the people. They're so friendly, and everybody is in harmony with whatever religious group they're from. And this is not always the case in many parts of India. There's lots of tension between different groups, but and everybody will tell you this in Kerala, and they're very proud that they all respect each other, whether they're Christian or Muslim or Hindu, I should say. There's a harmony, and they all respect each other's religion and beliefs. So that was really interesting, and you can't help but notice that and experience it. And the people are just so friendly, and it's such an English-friendly place as well. So it's so easy to make connections with people and engage with locals. So that is probably one of the highlights out of anything, out of beaches or scenes or anything. For me, visiting Kerala was just the interaction with people and how friendly and warm they were and how it felt like there was a harmony there that I hadn't experienced quite like any other place in India. So I think that's probably why I spent so much time, especially in the Kochi or Cochin area. And they have lots of wonderful things like the heritage sites, like the Chinese fishing nets that have been there for hundreds of years, and you can go. And the guys don't get as much fish as they used to, so they open up the fishing nets and they let you come on, and they want, of course, you just give them a tip or something. They don't charge a fee, but they just would like a donation or a tip or something like that, and they'll let you go on and try the fishing nets and that. And that was a lot of fun. I did that. And of course, there's quite a variety of colonial architecture there and churches. Cochin actually has the highest concentration of Christians in all of India. So it was really remarkable to see, you know, how foreigners affected the place by the amount of churches that were there. And then one of the highlights was actually meeting Joe Walsh from the Eagles when I was in Cochin. Actually, this was the last day of my trip. So I'd actually made a further trip down south, and then I came back to Cochin to spend 2 more nights before I flew back out, eventually going back to Taiwan via Kuala Lumpur. And I was sitting in a cafe one afternoon waiting for the Paradesi Synagogue to reopen so I could visit that. It's the oldest operating synagogue in the Commonwealth, and I was waiting for it to reopen so I could go and visit. And I was sitting in this cafe, and I saw these gentlemen walk by, and one was a monk, and then there's this guy who's a little bit older, and he had this sort of long blondish wavy hair, and he just struck out right away. And I looked at him, and then I looked at somebody behind him. He was a little bit ahead, and I said, "Is that Joe Walsh?" And the guy just looked at me and nodded. And so I immediately got up and I introduced myself, and he couldn't have been nicer. He's very kind, and I complimented him on his the concert I'd seen of his and the Eagles from a few years before and how I enjoyed it, and I thought he was the highlight of the show, and I was being very honest and sincere. And I had my picture taken with him. So it was a really, really cool way to finish off my trip to India, was meeting Joe Walsh. So, but that was the last trip. Now, before I left South India, I did a trip out of Cochin. I spent a couple of weeks traveling further down south. And I went to a few different places that the owner of the guest house was so kind enough to recommend to me and really kind of pushed me that way and said, you leave your big bag here. You can come back here before you fly out again. Take just a small pack and just visit all these places. And he suggested all these different places to go. And I did it and I loved it. So I went to Varkala Beach, which is kind of a cool place. It's a sort of a hippie beach. There's Hindu priests that sit on the beach and give blessings to people. That was a nice place that I stopped at for a couple of days. Then I moved on to Trivandrum, the capital of Kerala. And it's not a great walking city, but there's some absolutely amazing Hindu temples there, just spectacular temples. And it's also the home of one of the oldest zoos in the world, the Trivandrum Zoo. And this is where Jan Martel, the author of The Life of Pi, drew his inspiration from for the book, was visiting the Trivandrum Zoo. He was there in the mid-90s. And so there's lots of different architecture to see. It's a wonderful city. You don't need to spend a lot of time there, but I think I spent maybe 3 days there. And then I moved on to Kovalam Beach, south of Trivandrum, and spent a couple of days there. It's kind of a yoga beach, or a lot of New Age people come to Kovalam Beach and hang out there. It's a very cool area. And then finally, I took a 3.5-hour bus ride. I think it was about 3.5 hours altogether, and went to the very southern tip of the subcontinent, Kanyakumari in Tamil Nadu state. And that was absolutely an amazing, just, I only spent one night there. Maybe I would have spent two nights had I, you know, if I was to do it again. I saw just the gorgeous sunset from the southernmost tip of the subcontinent. And then the next morning, got up to do the sunrise, but we didn't have much of a sunrise because it was overcast and drizzle or raining a little bit. But it's a very interesting place. A lot of Indians go there for pilgrimage. So it's very easy to meet people and engage with people. And I met lots of Indians that were just on vacation there. And it was just kind of a carnival experience, kind of a Wild West sort of experience as well. The markets were kind of crazy and the people in there. But it was just a lot of fun and just one of those unique Indian experiences that you can't get anywhere else. And then, again, one of my little things that I loved to do when I was in South India was visit all those Indian coffee houses. And they have them almost in every city, especially in Kerala, and they serve coffee and snacks, and it's really cheap. So you can stop there and have a little break and have something cold to drink. You know, you could have a lassi, or you could have a coffee, and then you could have a dosa or some other kind of snack, and it's probably like for less than 70 or 80 cents. And it's just a great place to stop and refresh yourself before you go out in the tropical heat again. So that is my trip to India. And what got me all started on this was that movie, The Lunchbox. And then it just took off from there with more movie watching and reminiscing about my trips and travel and inspiring me to want to go back there and at least give me some kind of inspiration and hope for the future. Hey, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. And you can help support the podcast by becoming a patron. And patrons get access to exclusive content. There's lots of videos that you can watch, you can access, and private episodes of the Far East Travels podcast. So I'll leave a link to my Patreon page in the show notes. Follow that link and check out all the offers. Thanks. Don't forget, you can follow me on all kinds of places. I'm everywhere. Facebook, it's either the Far East Travels podcast page, Far East Adventure Travel, or Far East Travels, that is. Used to be Far East Adventure Travel. Now it's just Far East Travels, or John Sabo Official. You can also follow me or connect with me on Instagram, John Sabo's Far East Travels on Instagram, which is great. And on Twitter, I'm Far East_Travels, as well as Periscope. And hey, don't forget, you just send me an email as well. I love hearing from you. Any ideas for shows? John@FarEastTravels.com. Thank you so much. Stay inspired. Keep dreaming. We'll be traveling before you know it. And until then, I wish you safe travels and namaste.